Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to Acts chapter number 20, Acts chapter number 20. You know, as I begin this message this morning, I think about my own personal life and when I came to know the Lord, and it was towards the end of my sixth grade year at school and so forth. My mom started attending church with my grandma and the rest of our family. And I came to know the Lord at that particular time. And that's really when the ministry of the Lord began to work in my life, when He began to change me and begin to do a work. I think back at that, and my parents were both unbelievers. My father was a very bad alcoholic. And so it's amazing to me to see the hand of God reach down and to touch a person's life and to see them changed. Out of my family, I have two sisters and myself. And as I said, it wasn't the best home that we grew up in, certainly not believing parents until at least my mom later. But all three of us are in the ministry. Both of my sisters are married to pastors. And then I'm the pastor, you know, so it's amazing what God can do. And some of you can think of your own personal story, and you can think of where would you be today if God had not touched you. I remember a couple weeks ago riding with one of the men from our church. We got to talk, and just to see how God reached down and touched his life and changed him. And each one of us, if you know Christ as your Savior, that's your story. Your story is, how did God change you? Where would you be today? Where would you be today without Him in your life? Some of you here this morning, maybe you've never heard the gospel before. You don't really understand what the gospel is even about. It's very simple. And it's very clear, but that is that God loved you. He loved the world so much that He gave His only Son to go to the cross, to be crucified, to be buried, and on the third day was resurrected again to life. And because of that, He became the Paschal Lamb. He became the sacrificial lamb, if you would, of our sins. We're all sinners, and our sin has to be atoned for. It has to be paid for. And Christ has done that. And the Bible tells us that if we will repent of our sins and by faith trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can be saved. And so if you're here this morning and you have never done that, you have never heard the gospel before, you have never ever made that commitment to Christ, that you need to be saved, that you trust Him to be your Lord and Savior, I trust and pray today that as I speak with our church, you'll think about that, you'll consider that, and that if that's where you're at today, that you would seriously seek me out or somebody in our church, that we might be able to show you how you can have peace with God, how that you can settle that. I say all of that because I want to be sure and be very, very clear, but I also want to transition into each one of us. I would say the majority here today, you have come to that point and place in your life where you did trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You accepted Him, and you're doing your best to follow Him and so forth. Well, when we come to this passage of Scripture, I want to give you a few thoughts here. You know, I think every one of us wants their lives and their work and their ministry, if you would, to matter. We want our lives to matter in one way or another. We want it to touch other people's lives, and we want to finish our lives strong. We want to finish our walk with Christ strong, and we want to see results in our faith, in our walk with Him. I don't know that anybody really says, you know, I really don't care. No, I think every one of us, if you're truly a born-again believer, I believe that every one of us does care about our life mattering and our life accomplishing what God intends for it to accomplish. Well, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 20, Paul says something that really caught my attention this week, and I'm going to focus on that. In the bulletin there on the back, if you want to jot some things down, I'm going to go through these. I know it looks like a lot, but we'll get through them, and we'll be out of here by 2 o'clock, all right? All right, you're laughing, I'm serious. All right, very good. No, we will be, all right? Well, in the Bible, we certainly see that Paul was, different, that he wanted to finish the race. He wanted to finish it with joy, and we're going to see that today. Well, the race that Paul is talking about, I believe it is the race of life, or life itself, or ministry. That is, Paul wanted to accomplish, he wanted to do what it was that God had called him to do, and he wanted to do it very, very well. Now, in Acts chapter 20, the first few verses, we're not going to cover those, we're going to jump over those, but I'm going to give you a little information. Last Sunday night, Josh spoke with us and he shared with us about the uproar that had taken place in Ephesus and all of the things that were happening there. Well, after the uproar, Paul calls his disciples together and he encourages them. He builds them up. That's what the job or the work of a minister or a pastor is. He is the shepherd of the flock. He is to feed the flock of God. He is to equip them and to not only to feed, but to lead and to guard them. And we can see that. Well, he does this with many words, and you'll be grateful for this, that he does this with many words, the Bible says, and he goes on to Greece, and he stays there about 3 months. He's ready to leave for Syria, and he's ready to head there to continue on, and he hears of a Jewish plot. The Jews were really out to destroy Paul, excuse me, and they wanted to kill him. And so he hears that they're wanting to do this over a sea, so he decides to travel rather than by sailing by land. And so he goes by land through Macedonia again, and several from other churches that he had planted along the way, they're traveling with him. He has several at this particular point that are going with him, and some of those went on ahead to the city of Troas, which we spent some time on several weeks ago. But he's speaking with the Bible says that he was speaking with many words. How many of you have ever been to a sermon where you thought the pastor was speaking with many words? You know what I mean? It's going on and on and on. My son, my oldest son, he was in the ceremonial marchers in the Marine Corps, and he went to hear one of the generals retire. He had to do one of the ceremonial things for the one of the generals. I won't tell you which one it was, but he said, that's why he's a general. He is boring. It was very boring. It was very long and very boring. And they had to stand there, you know, and everything for an hour or so. I mean, it was bad. Well, anyway, Paul was speaking with many words here. And the Bible says that there was one that was his young man. His name was Eutychus. Wouldn't you like that for a name, Eutychus? That would be a great name, all right? But Eutychus, the Bible says, he falls asleep. Now, we could do a whole sermon on that, couldn't we? He was sitting in the windowsill, and the Bible says that he fell asleep. He went into a deep sleep, and he fell out the window. The problem was it was a third-story window, all right? That would be a problem. And so here he is. He's dozing off in church. Thank the Lord today. You all have a seat, and no one's going to fall out the windows, all right? So if you do doze off, you may. The worst may be that you'll hit your head on the person beside you or in the pew in front of you. But Eutychus, he fell out of the window, and he went down, and they thought he was dead. But Paul goes down, And he resuscitates him, and he can tell he's breathing. He resuscitates him, and so forth, and then bring him back. And, you know, the sermon finishes up. And the Bible says that they even went on into early into the morning. And then it was the next day that he hurries and he gets ready to go to Jerusalem because he wants to get there before Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost, and so forth. And so he ends up at Miletus, and he calls for the elders, or the spiritual leaders, if you would, from the church at Ephesus to come and to meet him and to join him at this particular point because he wants to share with them. Now look at verse number 18, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 18. This is where we'll pick up reading. And the Bible says, and they had come to him, and he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord." Now look at this. Paul says, from the very first day that I came to you, you know how I live. From the very first day, he says, and I was serving the Lord, look at this now, with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Now, I want you to catch something here, and you'll understand it a little bit later. But the first point, if you want to jot this in on your bulletin there, we're at the first point, and look what I want you to catch and I want you to see here this morning. Paul, first of all, he was very consistent in how he lived. Notice what he said. "You know from the very first day that I came to you how that I lived. I was serving the Lord with humility among you." He was doing it. He was, all of his efforts were in serving the Lord. And so Paul was very consistent in his lifestyle. Listen to me, church. Christians, if you're going to be effective in your ministry, if you're going to be effective in your life, one of the greatest things, one of the best things that you can do is learn to be consistent. So many Christians are like the roller coaster Christians. You know, you kind of go up, and you know, this summer been down to Six Flags once and rode the Boss, is it, or whatever it is, and you just kind of go up and you start to settle down, and it drops and it goes back up and drops again. That's crazy, right? But yet so many times we live our Christian lives that way. We get on fire for the Lord, we read our Bibles, we're praying like we ought to, and then the next thing you know, we kind of, things are going good, and we wane off, and we don't do those things. Paul says, listen, you know how from the very first day that I was among you, how that I served the Lord. Now, so first thing, Paul knew that they needed to be consistent. He was consistent in his Christian life. Look at the next thing I want you to jot down. Paul served the Lord with humility. He served the Lord with humility. He was not filled up with pride. He was not filled up with all kinds of wrong motives or things like that. But he was humbly a servant of the Lord. Remember now, Paul is a man who was very righteous. He had been a Pharisee. He was very holy. He had obeyed the law. He was very, very religious and very passionate about his religion as a Pharisee. And he was very busy about stamping out the church of Christ. He was busy about doing that. But yet, the Holy Spirit, the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and he was marvelously transformed. He was marvelously saved. God opened his spiritual eyes that he might see that he needed Jesus. It wasn't religion that he needed. It wasn't all the Pharisees' rules and regulations that was going to make him right with God, but that it was the righteousness of God in Christ that would make him right. And so he humbled himself. He repented on the road to Damascus, and he received the Lord as his Savior, and his life has been transformed. It has been changed, and now he is consistently serving the Lord with all humility. He at one time might have been filled with pride because of his religion and all of his rules and things that he'd done, but here it is. He says, "I'm serving the Lord with humility." You know, probably one of the greatest things that you and I can do as we go out and we try try to serve the Lord and we try to witness and we try to share our faith and we try to set that example to people around us and set that example for others, is that we would be humble people, that we would be people that would be humble servants of the Lord. Then look at another thing. Paul also, he experienced tears and trials. There is no guarantee that your life in serving the Lord is going to be smooth and easy at all times. Matter of fact, it is not. We know that just because you become a Christian doesn't mean all your problems go away. The only problem that really goes away is your sin problem. That is, your sin debt to Almighty God is paid for. It's taken care of. Now, will you still wrestle with sin and struggle with it? Absolutely, you will. And that you have the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to protect you, to guide you, to give you strength. But here Paul says, you know, his life, it was filled even with tears and with trials. And so if you're a Christian, don't, somehow get angry with God because you're having some problems, or become upset with him. Because listen to me, Paul served the Lord and he served him passionately, even with tears and great trials. Paul, he was hated. They despised him. They were always plotting to destroy him. Here he went from being a Pharisee among the Pharisees, stamping out Christianity, to accepting Christianity and beginning to preach and stamp out Phariseeism, began to stamp out the idea that you could somehow earn your way to God. And so he has done a 180-degree turn, if you would, when he got saved. And so you bet that the Jews and the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, they were certainly out to destroy him. They certainly did not enjoy the message that he was preaching at this particular time. Well, let's look at verse number 20. The Bible goes on and it says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but, excuse me, proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I want you to see what happened right there. Sorry, I'm fighting a cold. I got to grab a drink. All right. But Paul, I want you to see one of the things that we can learn here. Paul, not only was he going out preaching publicly, going to the synagogues. Remember, he always went to the synagogue and he reasoned. He was discussing and talking with them, showing them who Christ was, who the Messiah was. He was always doing that. But also, did you see what it said? He was not only publicly was he doing that, but he was going from house to house. And so I want you to see something. Paul, in order to live his life as he believed God wanted him to, he was willing to publicly, but also privately, from house to house, serve the Lord and do what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, I want us to keep going here. Paul, he did not hold back. He did not hold back anything. He went from house to house. He did not hold back anything that was helpful for them. If he felt that some kind of teaching or something that needed to be taught to them, he would not hold that back, but he gave them everything that he could. Look at another thing. Paul also taught them. He taught them publicly and privately. I just told you that, didn't I? Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 21. Verse number 21, the Bible says, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see something here. Paul says that he was preaching repentance toward God and faith towards Christ. I want you to see this for a minute. There is repentance is not the same as what we see a lot of today. Today we see a lot of folks that maybe because of their sin or something like that, they may talk about it or admit it or so forth, but there is a huge difference between repentance, that is being sorry and having a change of mind and a change of direction. That's really what the word repent means. It means to turn, to change, to go in a different direction. And so Paul was, he was preaching repentance. That is, people needed to repent. They needed to turn from the direction that they were going. They needed to turn towards God.
there is a difference. I want you to see something. We see folks today, and a lot of times what we see is we see a remorse. There's a huge difference between remorse and repentance. Repentance is when you change the direction you're going. It's when your mind is changed and when you see sin as sin and you see it as God does and you change your direction. Remorse is more that you are sorry that you were caught. You see what I'm saying? There's a big difference. There's a big difference between being sorry that you were caught in your sin and actually being sorry for your sin and changing direction. We don't hear much about that today in our pulpits and in our churches, that people must repent of their sin, turn from their sin, and turn to Christ. That's really the message. And so Paul's message was one that, of repentance and turning to Christ in faith. Paul's message was, it was for everyone. He says he spoke this message to the Jews and to the Greeks. He didn't just speak it to certain folks, but he said everyone needs to repent and everyone needs to believe in Christ. There's no exception. Listen to me, friend, if you're here this morning, and I know it seems as though the world is spinning out of control and there's so much wickedness and so much sin, there is all around us. And that's why people desperately, we need the Lord. We need to repent of our sins and turn to God and to begin to follow Him. Now look, at, if you would, at verse number 22. And it says, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." And that bound is literally to be tied to be united with. He says, "I am bound to go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." Verse number 23, "Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." I want you to see what Paul is saying. He's saying, my spirit within me, my heart within me, now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm a believer, I am so bound by my commitment to Christ, by my relationship with Christ, by my life with Christ, my life in Christ. He says, I am obligated, I am bound to go to Jerusalem. I know that there's going to be things that are going to happen there. He could sense that there's certainly an uproar amongst the Jews that are going to come after him. And so Paul said, you know what, I've got to go. And so I want you to see this. Paul followed God even though the Spirit predicted difficulties. Even though he knew, the Holy Spirit kind of convicted him or was telling him, listen, it's not going to be easy when you get to Jerusalem, but you need to go. And so Paul was committed to going to Jerusalem even in difficulty. Now, I've shared with you all of these things in Paul's life, and I want to throw in a question right here. Well, why? Why was it that Paul wanted to do all of these things? Why was it that he was consistent? Why was it that he preached no matter where he was? Why was it that he preached to Jews and Gentiles? Why was it that he did these things? Why was it that he publicly preached? Why was it that he would go house to house? Well, look at verse number 24. Verse number 24, the Bible says this, "But none of these things move me." None of what things? None of all the threats of tribulation. None of all of the tears. None of all of the trials. None of all of the problems that he is going to face. He says, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." He says, I do not count my life so important to myself that I am not willing to do these things, that I'm not willing to face these trials, that I'm not willing to shed these tears. He says, none of these things move me. He says, I don't count my life so important to myself. Look what he goes on and he says, "Why? So that I may finish my race with joy. And that's really what I want to speak with you today about mostly, is that we race with joy, that we live our Christian lives with joy, that we live our Christian lives with passion, with joy. I see so many Christians today, and so many times we find ourselves unhappy, we're miserable, or we're fussing about this or that or the other. And Paul says, listen, all of these things, he says, I do all of these things so that I may finish my race with joy. Don't you want joy in your life today? Don't you want to be a joyful Christian? Don't you want to have joy? You know, one day, whether we like it or not, we're going to stand before the Lord, and one day our lives are going to be finished. They're going to be completed here, and it would be our passion and our desire. I don't know anybody that would be like, well, I really don't care. You know, I'll just be happy to get there. I think all of us wants to finish with joy. Amen? Whoa, that was sad. I think all of us wants to finish with joy. Amen? All right. That's better. All right. I'm not convinced, but you at least gave me a good amen. All right. And the ministry, he says, which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He says, listen, God has called me. God has saved me. He has redeemed me. He says, it is my joy that I would carry out the ministry of my life, that I would finish it with joy. And he says, the purpose of my life is to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. Christians, listen to me. That is your ministry too. That is not just the ministry of your pastors. That is the ministry of every believer, to proclaim the gospel to those around us, that we would proclaim the grace of God, that we would proclaim that gospel, that there is grace for the lost, that there is grace for the sinner, that there is unmerited favor that God is willing to pour out on the repentant sinner who will turn his heart to Almighty God. And Paul says, listen, it is my passion, it is my joy, it is my goal that I would finish my life and my ministry with joy. Church, listen, that should be the passion, that should be the desire of every Christian. Every one of you here this morning, you should have a passion and a fire inside of you that says, you know what? I want to finish my race with joy. I want to proclaim the gospel to every person that I have opportunity to. I want to share my faith. I want to be a witness for Christ. I want people to see the joy of my life. I want to finish it with joy. I don't want to finish my life with regret. I don't want to finish my life wishing that I would have witnessed to this one, or wishing that I would have done this, or wishing that I would have been more faithful in my prayer life, or more faithful in my Bible reading. No, Paul says it is my joy. None of these problems, all of these things that could be negatives, all of these things that could work against me, he says, you know what? I don't worry about them, because it's my desire to finish the race with joy. Now, verse number 25, he says, and indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. And listen to me, church, there's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of Satan, and we're living right in the middle of the kingdom of Satan. And he is having a heyday, and he is having a great time, and we are in a very sinful, sin-sick, sin-occupied world. We are. Our culture is depraved. It is getting worse by the day. But Paul says, listen, it is my goal, my desire to preach the kingdom of God. And he says, you will see my face no more. He's getting ready to prepare them that he is going to be leaving. Now listen to this. The next point I want you to see is that Paul wanted to finish with joy. And maybe you've gotten that already. But Paul wanted to finish with joy. Now listen to me, church. All of us have a race. If you're here this morning and you have breath in your body, and if you're still sitting up, or even if you're asleep, all right, if you're alive this morning, you have life in you, and that life is your race. All of us have a race. Your life is to live your life. Your race is to live your life for the Lord as a Christian, as a believer. The race is your life, and your life is your ministry. You know, I think oftentimes we think, well, it's the pastor that has ministry, or it's this one that has ministry. You know what? No, all of us have ministry. Every single one of us has ministry. And it is up to you to decide what you're going to do with that ministry. It is up to you to decide, I'm going to be faithful in my ministry. I'm going to be passionate about my ministry. I'm going to get involved and I'm going to serve in my ministry. I'm going to spend my life serving the Lord. I'm going to spend my time doing all that I can to reach the lost with the gospel, because that's my ministry. You see, I can't finish your ministry. I can't live your ministry. You can't live my ministry. You can't be who I am, and I can't be who you are. But you know what? We both have ministry, amen? We both have a life to live. We both have a race to run, and you have to live your ministry so that you can live it with joy, so that you can finish with joy. It's sad to me that so many Christians, they say they're a believer, and you know, and you take them at their word, but they do absolutely nothing for the Lord their entire life. They're taking the free gift of salvation, and it is a free gift. But then they show no response to it and how they live. I can't live your ministry. You can't live my ministry. It doesn't matter if you're 10 or if you're 20, 30, 40, 70, 80, 100. If you're still here and your heart's still beating and you're still breathing air, you're still in ministry. Did you realize that? Well, say, Pastor, I can't do this and I can't do that. Stop thinking about all the things you cannot do and start thinking about the things that you can do. You can pray. You can witness. You can share your faith. You can tell others about. You see, you don't have to know, you don't have to go to Bible college to share your faith. Matter of fact, sometimes I think you're better if you don't. Because then you just tell the simple story of what Jesus did for you. What he means to you. You have to do your ministry. And if you don't finish your ministry with joy, guess what? It's your fault. It's not the person next to you. It's not the preacher. It's not somebody else. If you don't finish your ministry with passion and with joy and with enthusiasm, it's up to you. Nobody else can do it for you. I can motivate you. I can cheer you on. I can applaud you. I can try to give you opportunity. But it is up to you whether you finish with joy or with regret. Well, look at verse 26. He's giving a warning here, and I'll hurry through these next points, but now he is calling, and this really, if we were taking a lot of time, we could point this one. I just was hard on you, now I could be hard on me, because now he's calling the elders from Ephesus together. He's going to start speaking about being pastors or leaders. Therefore, in verse 26, he says, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Christians, listen to me. That is a powerful, powerful statement. If you go back and you read Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9, the watchman was responsible for the blood of those that would perish. Let me tell you something. I shared with you the gospel at the very beginning of this message. If you're here this morning and you did not know Christ, and I shared with you how Christ loves you, he died for you, and you must make a choice to receive him or reject him. What Paul is saying is that's what I have done. I have shared with you the gospel. And he says, so now your decision is your decision. Your blood is no longer on my hands. Your blood is on your hands. Your decision for Christ or against him is up to you. That's what he was saying there in verse 26. In verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, I think this is one note that I skipped. I forgot. Someone reminded me of it later, but let me give it to you here. Paul could finish with joy because he shared the whole counsel of God. He finished with joy because he shared the whole counsel of God. He spoke the whole truth, the whole gospel, not just part of it. Then look at verse number 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. That passage right there would be to Jonathan, Robert, Josh, myself, those that are shepherds. We are under shepherds of the flock of God. Our responsibility is to feed you, feed the flock. Jesus told Peter and over, he said, Peter, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. That's what we're supposed to do. And so as your pastor, I will get up on Sunday. I will get up and feed you the scripture. I will do that. As pastors, we are to feed, we are to lead, and we are also to protect. Verse number 29, he says, for I know this, that after my departure, look at this, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That is, there are going to be other false teachers that are going to come in, and they are going to try to spread their false doctrines. And he says, I want to warn you about those. Look at verse number 30. He says, also from among yourselves, even within the congregation, even from within the churches, not always from outside, but even from within, there will be men that will rise up speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away the disciples after themselves. They wanted to have others follow them. Rabbis, usually they would have groups that would follow them. Jesus had the 12 disciples. Other rabbis, they could get people to follow him. He says, listen, there are going to be some that even within the flock, even within the congregation, they're going to rise up because they have wrong motives and they're impure thoughts. And he said, they're going to try to draw them after themselves. So I want you to catch this here. Paul warned them of enemies to come. He warns them of enemies to come. It's not always going to be smooth sailing and so forth. Now, in the last seven or eight verses there, verses 31 through 38, he reminds them of their enemies and he reminds them of his hard work and how much that he prayed for them. And then he was burdened for them. And then he prays with them and he spends time with them. Listen, I want, and I think you want, to finish with joy, don't you? I want to finish with joy. I want to finish the race, the ministry that God has given me with passion for Christ, with joy, and doing all that I can. All of us want to race with joy. But it takes effort. It takes decision. It doesn't just happen. I've had people tell me before, boy, I wish I could be like so-and-so. She's such a godly person. Or boy, I wished I could be like such and such because he's just such a man of God. Christians, let me tell you something. Women of God and men of God don't just happen. It doesn't just happen. They spend time every day in the scripture. They spend time every day praying. I would never do it because I think we would be embarrassed. But if I were to go around to each one of you and ask you, how many of you spent time in God's Word every day this week, you would be shocked at how few actually have spent time with God daily. Now, how is it that we think we're going to win the world for Christ if we're never on our knees and we're never in His Word? Shame on us. It is amazing to me the passion that, look at ISIS and the Muslims and the passion they have for their religion, and they don't even have the truth. And we have the truth, and we spend no time learning it and growing in it and walking in it. They pray 5 times a day. How often do we pray? How passionate are we about our faith? Well, if your race were to end today, would you finish with joy? Or would you kind of have to say, I'd be a little embarrassed if I finished today? Because you don't know when your race is going to finish. Only God knows that. And so you must be prepared every day to run the race with joy. Do the things that it takes to do that. Do you have some things that maybe need to be changed? Maybe there's some attitudes that you have in your heart towards other people that are holding you back, that you are not able to actually walk with Christ the way that you should because you have bitterness. You have unforgiveness. I don't know what, but those things will keep you from serving the Lord the way that you should. Maybe there's people that we need to forgive. Maybe there's people that we need to be right with. Maybe we need to be a more consistent. Bible reading and prayer life has been terrible. Need to be better about it. Maybe we need to get right and come clean with God. There's some things, there's sin in our life that God is just, He's pounding on our hearts. He's convicting us over and over and over. And we still have not yielded to Him. We still hang on to our sin. And we still hang on to what we want to do. Are you being all that you can be for God today? Would you stand with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. I can't help but think that somehow our entire church is completely right with the Lord and just all on fire and doing everything that we're supposed to. I can't help but think that there's probably some areas that we need to maybe bend a knee and speak to the Lord about. And I trust that right there where you're standing today that you would do that. If you need to come and to pray at the altar, there's something about that. I believe that. I learned it a long time ago, that there's something about when you go to the altar and you bend a knee, that commitment's a little stronger than if you don't. But I don't know where you're at this morning, and maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, you're right about the gospel, and I never have received Christ as my Savior. And I need to do that. My friend, I encourage you to step out today. I'll meet you here at the front. We will definitely take you aside and have time with you and pray with you and show you how you can be saved, how you can know for sure that if your race were to end today, that you could end with joy, that you would be with the Lord. Christians, if you look at your life and your heart, if your race were to end right now today, Would it really end with joy? Or would there be some regret? Because there's something that you haven't made right. You haven't gotten it cleaned up. You're not clean before God. You're not clean before others. My friend, in order to finish with joy, I just think those three words that Paul said there, that I might finish with joy. He didn't care what the cost was. He didn't care what other people thought. He didn't care what trials might come his way. He didn't care the problems, the battles that he was going to face. He wanted to finish with joy. Father, as we come before you today, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that, Lord, that we would have a desire and a passion to finish with joy. Lord, I pray for every believer here that our ministries, Lord, my desire for Westford Baptist Church and Jacksonville Deaf Bible Church is that every believer, that we would have a passion to finish with joy, not with regret, but with joy. And so whatever steps we have to take today to do that, I pray that your Holy Spirit would prompt us to do that and that we'd be obedient to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If